About a week and a half ago, there was an event here in Florence at the Florence Event Center called Meet the Candidates, and people got an opportunity to meet some of the candidates running for some of the offices for state and for federal. And some of you may have been there. For those of you who weren't, we have Dick Anderson in here now, and Dick is running for the Oregon Senate. And Dick, the first thing I got to do is I got to give you a hard time. Blue Devil over Tar Heel. I don't know. I don't know if I can talk to you now.
Well.
We should explain what we're talking about,
you know,
for those who don't know.
Well, actually, I'm not a Blue Devil or a Tar Heel.
But you went to Duke.
Well,
tell me the story.
In my work career,
uh-huh.
35 years in financial services, my specialty was real estate lending. I worked for a bank at that time, and they wanted to turn me into a banker. One of those retail types. And they thought sending me to Duke University for 8 weeks of executive training would be helpful. Mm-hmm. And so I spent 8 weeks, at Duke University. And it was a fantastic opportunity and time, quite
sure
frankly.
Was, yeah.
But they never did quite convert me into being a retail banker.
Well, and you know, and it takes a little more than 8 weeks to be a Blue Devil, too. I understand. That's from what I understand there.
Though the I might say, I walked the court, and there is something about the, atmosphere of that whole place,
there
and knowing
is.
What goes on with basketball.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your background, then. Mayor of Lincoln City.
Correct. Second time.
Yeah. Right. And so now you've decided to move up. Tell me a little bit about before Lincoln City.
Before being mayor?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually, as I was indicating, I've 35 years in real estate lending all over the country as far as my marketplace, so to speak. I ran national production, have moved all over the Northwest. Grew up in Oregon, though, really in the northeast corner of Oregon. So my roots are here, and I always wanted to come back. Came back in 88 to Oregon.
So you've been here a while.
Long time.
Long enough to see what's been going on.
Actually, yes. And as I got closer to retirement age, I bought a place in Lincoln City. And in 99, my wife and I then retired in 2005 to Lincoln City. And we've been in Lincoln City since then. Our kids and grandkids are in the valley. But we felt this was close enough, but yet far enough away to not be that automatic drop-off. Though we love our grandkids, but sometimes it can get overpowering. And so I, from there, I did the typical retirement stuff, golfed a lot, got a little bit needing something else to do, and actually started spending time on the city budget. Trying to identify where our money comes from in a municipal budget, where it goes, how it goes, and really got fascinated by it. Rolled into city council of an election, decided I can be mayor, ran for election and was, and have stayed actually 12 years. This is my second go-round as mayor. So I like it. It's a community service job. You know, we don't get paid. But I, spend a lot of time at it. It's a full-time job for me because I make it that.
So there's not a majority of Republican senators in the Oregon Senate. That is for sure. What makes this time around more appealing to a Republican candidate?
Good question, because that's what makes this seat so important and this race so important statewide. And you're right on the numbers. It's 12 Republican senators, 18 Democrat. The importance of this race is picking up just one seat, and this is the number one seat to pick up for a Republican, breaks the supermajority from it within the Senate, meaning no longer can the majority party put through tax bills without a Republican voting for it. And whatever there's a majority such as that, a supermajority, there's no need for discussion, give and take, new ideas.
No consensus.
No consensus. And, that's really what's happened, not just in the Senate, but the House as well. And whenever one party is dominant, that far dominant, things fall apart. And I use the terminology, our government is broken, our state government is broken. And it's because we're out of balance. So to answer the question, this seat— is so important. And I ran in 2016 against the sitting Senator Arne Roblin. I lost, obviously. I lost by only 349 votes. There was a third party candidate in it that took away from my base. So, you know, I knew this district was sympathetic to wanting change, because the district only has like 26% Republican voter registration. So in order to come that close as I did in 16, you know, I knew there were a lot of unaffiliates, Democrats that thought perhaps their party had gone too far. And that's what I'm sensing this time around as well. And it's not going to change who's majority, who's minority, but it'll force discussion. And that's so vital.
Obviously, some of the things we've been hearing over the last year especially are things like the pushing through the CAT tax, certain things that have annoyed smaller businesses, loggers, people that use fuel. You know, it's been something that's been really bugging a lot of people. Now, for a majority of us, it doesn't really affect us that much, but it can affect commerce.
Correct.
So where do you stand on as far as things like the CAT tax?
Well, let's talk about, you know, this district. This district is made up of farming, forest, fisheries, tourism. Mm-hmm. Those are vital industry. So many of those within those topics are small businesses. And you look at the composition of the small business, and I'm not talking about, you know, 50 employees and less. I'm talking about, you know, 5 to 10 employees. So they're really small. And they're impacted by some of these, not just the taxes and stuff, but the red tape of filing and collecting and stuff. And unfortunately, the consumer thinks, and obviously the urban politicians think, that any business makes a lot of money just by virtue of being a business. And that's just simply not true. So when the CAT tax, the corporate activity, the Oregon sales tax is what it is, taxing gross, you know, it may not affect these small businesses, but it's affecting the food chain up the line, and, you know, stuff starts trickling down with the tax, and the product costs more. And so everything, you know, really does compound. It's a compounding effect. So we're all affected. And that's the sales tax that nobody wants to call it a sales tax. Mm-hmm. The other, your cap and trade, you know, I'm all for, you know, environmental balance. And I think we have to. That's why we live here on the coast. We love this area of the Oregon and the coast. So none of us are going to hopefully, you know, damage that aspect. But we've got to be reasonable. And I look for alternatives. Don't force me to do something unless you're going to give me an alternative. And I use the example, if I'm on 4th and Broadway in Portland and people want me out of my car, I could look around and say, oh, well, I'll take the streetcar, I'll take light rail, I'll ride my bike, there's a bus. But when I'm, you know, 4th and Broadway in Florence, I'm pretty limited. And that's what we forget. So either let's start the ball, give areas, you know, first alternatives. So we start getting used to it. And then we can look, if that's what you want to do. But quite frankly, the cap and trade bill was a bad bill to start with. It really didn't do what the title indicated it would do. It was just another tax.
As the mayor of Lincoln City, did you feel the pressure of some of that already, and that might have encouraged you to make this decision? Or,
well, as mayor of Lincoln City and, you know, working in local government, I've watched a continual erosion of home rule for cities. I've testified on behalf of Lincoln City and rural coastal in Salem when, you know, the legislators that, I guess in their wisdom, decided that we all needed to have one policy. I can think of doing away with the single-family residential zone most recently. And instead, you know, now multifamily, you know, 4 units, 2 units can come into a what used to be single-family detached.
Had an ADU or something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not that I don't mind discussing those kind of things, because quite frankly, and ironically, Lincoln City had already made those changes, but it was done locally. We, the people of Lincoln City, chose to make those. I hate these kind of things that of a mandate down from somebody in a valley, in urban and telling us what we need to do. So I'm all for it.
So you could propose making the environment favorable for such things to happen so that towns and communities like this can make that decision without the red tape.
Right. Balance. You know what? I keep going back to balance for a number of things. That's what's gone out of whack, whether it's the environment, you know, our government. And nobody likes to be, you know, steamrolled over. And that's, I think, what's happening during this time. We've got extremes on both parties, need to come together. Balance will bring that.
So I guess asking this, you know, I guess I probably already know the answer to this, but being a coastal resident, you will fight for the coast, obviously, and our unique position here as opposed to, you know, some of the other areas.
Yeah. And it's, you do know, just having, asking that question, yes. But let me defend it, because that same answer is good. You're going to hear from every politician.
But not all of them mean it.
Bingo. And that's where I want to go. And from the track record, I would ask people to, voters, to look at the through the individual and what might be their motive. Now, our listeners, you know, can't see me, but you know, I'm up in the years. I'm very happy with what I do, and I've been giving 12 years of community service. I'm willing to, you know, serve at a state level for the next 4-8 years if I'm so lucky as senator. I'm not looking to be governor or secretary of state or anything else. I'm happy with what I'm doing and would be content with state senate, because the coast needs a voice. And I say that because I don't have to then watch my votes or be concerned about my party not following the caucus with my party or whatever. It makes me more of, you know, my own person and the coast. And I've said that to this district, that you could count on me thinking first, before I vote, how does it impact the coast? Not even Oregon. The coast first, then Oregon, and then I'll worry about the other fallout kind of stuff. And that's different.
Because you don't have an agenda past this
position. I don't have an agenda. Yeah. I know that's hard for voters to think, because politicians always have an agenda. And typically they don't run unless they have some kind of passion for something to fix. And I hate to say I don't have that, other than community service. And I've watched and been disappointed with how this state is turning. And we need to pull it back into the moderate middle road of some common sense. And that's just not going to happen when one party has an extreme supermajority.
All right. So give me your condensed vote for Dick Anderson because.
The answer is because I am experienced. I've got life experiences and career experiences. I can make big, tough decisions. And that's what we're going to have in the next 4 to 5, 6 years. We're going to be in a financial challenges. And that's my background. As mayor, I balance budgets every year. We have to decide priorities. And it's time the state looked at priorities. Not everything can be an essential service. You know, we've got to get serious. Our revenue in this state is better than it ever has been once the economy gets rolling again. But we're still outspending that revenue. You know, spending is going at a 15% increase, revenue only increasing in roughly 8%. That doesn't work. And that's what's causing this tax mentality to fix the problem. So I will definitely be in this seat someone against any new taxes, because we need to stop. Settle it down. Stop this spending. Let's get to what really is important.
All right, Dick Anderson, Oregon Senate, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Don't go away. We still got a couple more interviews left on the extended edition of October Our Town.